Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Man, those two really hate each other. That feud's like Biggie Tupac level. Maybe even Morgan Freeman, Shailene Woodley level.
With Dusty Hera.
I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style.
And the man who accepted impermissible teriyaki benefits as a college All-American, Cam Cleland.
Why does anybody in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food?
People are idiots, Ron.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you, the 13th of December. And this, for the first time since August, is not the day before the day before. We got nothing on Saturday. What are you going to do?
Wait a minute.
We got nothing.
Hold up. We got NFL football.
What are you talking about?
NFL football on Saturday this week.
The day before.
Are you serious,
there
Clark?
There are two games. Yeah. Two NFL games. There's a 1:30 and a 5:30, I believe.
Don't you remember they do this when college football is done? They move it up on us?
No, I don't. I thought that was only like wild card weekend. What games? Oh, we have Texans, Jets. Oh, catch the fever on that one. And Browns, Broncos.
Playoff implications.
God, could they give us two crappier games?
It's a game, Dusty. Quit whining.
Yeah, I know. Okay, are you going to watch that, or are you going to watch...
No, I'm going to be in a basketball tournament.
So nothing. You're not going to watch anything.
It's hoop season, baby.
I forgot bowl season starts. Our Tulane Green Wave playing the Camping World Auto Nation Cure Bowl.
Auto Nation, Camping World, Auto Nation, that's a combo.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's at Camping World Stadium. Tulane versus Louisiana. The Raging Cajuns versus Green Wave.
Where's it at?
Wait, they're playing a game between two teams from Louisiana.
Yeah, Raging Cajuns.
In Orlando. Okay, you going to watch that?
Do that? I might partake.
Gary Anderson's Utah State Aggies take on North Texas.
He's not coaching that.
In the New Mexico Bowl.
Has he already left Utah officially? Or is he going to... He's not going to be on the sideline, will he?
He's not gonna be on the sideline, but he'll do what they, you know, this is bowl
season.
Would
you do that if you were hired as the new coach? Would you stock the sideline with the other coaches there and the other coaching staff just hanging around knowing that they're all probably gonna be fired?
Yeah, with a clipboard taking notes the entire game, giving them a little, I'm watching you.
Hey, what are you calling? Yeah. Nah, I wouldn't have called that. You're out of a job.
Yeah.
I'm not hiring you.
Have a headset on the entire time.
And watch the coaches overcoach.
Exactly.
During warm up so they can impress Coach Anderson to see if he can get a job.
Oklahoma drill.
Yeah. You know that guy that does that when the boss comes around? He's the total...
I'm working very,
very hard. Wait a minute. Get my TPS report ready, please. Ready. The overcoach.
Mm.
I know overcoaches. When the head coach comes over,
the
individual coach, and he's coaching, and next thing you know, the head coach come over to shadow, take a look and see how we're doing. Mm. Kind of like when the principal sits in with your teacher, with your wife. Principal comes in, she's going to sit in with your wife. Speaking of your wife, because you call her wife, I'll call her wife.
Yeah.
Principal sits in the back. You start to overteach.
Right.
You teach like you normally teach, or are you doing a little bit harder?
You should just be teaching the way you always teach.
You should.
That should be good enough.
You should.
Yeah.
I'm not saying your wife does or my wife does.
Right. The Vegas Bowl is also Saturday. Arizona State, Fresno State. Will you watch more bowl games?
Yes.
Or are you going to watch more NFL action?
Well, it depends. What time's the NFL games on?
I'm looking at it here.
If they're middays, they'll probably be 1:30, 4:30, something like that.
We're looking at 1:30 Pacific and 5:20 Pacific.
Okay. All right.
Both on the NFL Network.
Mm.
So that makes it a lot tougher for some people. Well, by the way, did you see the numbers on the NFL this past week?
No.
Up 2%.
Yeah.
NFL dying.
Yeah. I don't think so.
That conversation has seemed to stop this year. Do you notice that?
Well, you mean the pitchforks and torches that everyone said, all the snowflakes that said football's over.
Yeah.
We're done. We're going to stop the sport. The sport is terrible. Mm-hmm. Did you also see the gambling?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you see those numbers?
$928 million in wagers made in New Jersey alone.
I think the first month was $50 million. The next month it was $80 million.
Because that's all they could bet on was baseball.
And then it went to $230 million. But nobody cares about it. It's not interesting. Don't watch it. It's only the number one show on every network. Yeah. Every day.
And by the way, December's not done. They're going to get up to $1 billion in less than a year of legalized gambling in the state of New Jersey. Yeah. And that's just wagers placed. But one thing that we do know is that it's not going to be $928 million because people do win some money. But if you're looking at, you know, even if they took half of that, right? Mm. And which is, you know, the casinos win more than half the time on sports wagering.
Sure.
So you're taking in $500 million in revenue for the state of New Jersey.
I don't get it why every state isn't on this immediately. If you just take that revenue of sorts, we gamble here in this state. It's called the lottery.
Yeah.
You heard about it?
No.
Have you heard of it?
Tell me more.
Yeah, about that's okay. Lottery. Hey, buy those tickets. Let's walk into 7-Eleven and buy tickets. But heaven forbid you walk into 7-Eleven and bet on a game. What's the damn difference? Tax it, use it for the good of the state, make the roads better. How about that?
You've softened on your gambling stance a lot.
No, I don't gamble on sports, but what I will tell you is that if someone wants to gamble, I'm all for that. Yeah. You want to spend your money however you want. I'm never going to be the person that tells you how to spend it.
Right.
Please spend it. But if it benefits the people that are paid through our teachers, our law enforcement, our fire, all the people that are part of this government that make it easier for the states, please fund that more. And you degenerates, please have it. Go for it.
True.
Spend your money.
All right, let's do that. Football's doing okay. We've changed the conversation. It's now on football numbers dropping of people actually playing. But it'll take some time, and then we'll get that back going again to where things are on the right path. But it's no longer an issue. People are watching football again. Don't worry. Okay? We don't need to panic about
that. I was a little
nervous
after last year. I was worried that it was going to die.
Right?
Somebody was telling me, you're not going to have... This is a true conversation.
Okay.
I had this parent said was very animate that football is going to die. Sports over. Was telling me, he's like, you know, that retirement you have, you're not going to have that by the time you retire. So you better prepare better. And I went, well, it's not a lot anyway, but thank you, Nostradamus, to tell us that football is going to die. Naysayer. I told her to wrap herself in bubble wrap and go watch Seinfeld's Bubble Boy.
Okay.
Episode
That's
over
what
and
you
over.
Told her.
Yeah.
What was her response?
She didn't like it.
Okay.
She didn't like it.
So she's just not a Seinfeld fan?
She's neither. She said, what does that have to do with it? And I went, obviously, we're disconnected. And
did you tell
her
to get off your porch after that?
No, I didn't raise my voice. I said, I'm so sorry you feel that way. You need to wrap yourself in bubble wrap and go watch Seinfeld. I have a great episode for you. It's called The Bubble Boy. Didn't find it funny.
Speaking of television, I had quite the issue yesterday with my television.
Did you?
I went to flip on the TV.
It's called batteries.
No, it turned right on. TV turned on.
Yeah.
I was in television hell yesterday for about a good hour. So I flipped the television I go to change. I have Comcast.
Oh, you're fine. Voice button.
Here's the problem.
What?
I go to change the channel. Nothing. Voice button is just giving me that little, you know, not picking up the voicing. Yeah. I couldn't change the channel. Do you know who's the last person to watch the television?
Kids.
No, my wife.
Yeah.
It was on the Hallmark channel. It was a crappy loop of holiday movies, and I couldn't change the channel. I couldn't get away from it. But luckily, the Comcast Cares responded to my tweet about it, and they walked me through. They reset my remote for me, and they fixed the problem.
You can remote reset?
Yeah. Well,
we'll share that with everybody.
They went through. They direct messaged me because I tagged Xfinity.
Oh, you DM'd.
Yeah, and they said, hey, DM me.
They slid into your DM.
And then they asked me my phone number, my address, and my name, and I got a little apprehensive.
Yeah, you did.
And so I went and I looked through the Comcast Cares kind of thing, and they said, yeah, we'll reach out to you on Twitter just to make sure we're verified.
Mm-hmm.
And they walked through, and they gave me step-by-step. I can't tell you what it was.
You can't tell you what it is? Why do you do that?
What?
In case we need to reset, all of us out there need to reset our remote, right. Which I've never in my life heard of that.
Let's go to resetting remotes with Dusty and Cam in the morning. I'll go to my direct messages and I'll give you the step by step.
But was it complicated or was it easy?
No, it was not.
Oh, okay.
It was very easy to do. But they went through and they asked me a few questions and then they said, let's do this.
All right.
And basically reset my remote for me. And they got me out of television hell. But those movies are so bad that they put on the Hallmark channel, and they're all holiday related, and my wife loves them. And it was the most frustrating hour ever, because no matter what I did, reset the box, didn't work, take the batteries out, change the batteries on the remote, even though I knew that wasn't the problem because the TV was turning on with the remote, nothing fixed it. It was in television hell.
Hmm.
It was a bad hour for me. But I fixed it. Comcast Cares got me. They got my back on that one. I couldn't watch any Seinfeld episodes, though.
I'm sorry. But you were stuck on the Hallmark Channel, which is a great channel during the holidays.
No, it's not. It's terrible.
All I want to do is sit and cry and wrap up in a nice fuzzy blanket and enjoy those movies over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, don't do that. Man card taken, revoked. I revoked it from you this early in the morning. All right, let's get back to manly things. Let's talk some sports today. On today's show, how can college football grab power back from the SEC? We talked about it yesterday with college football playoff. Wait to hear the SEC's response to an expansion of the college football playoff. Won't surprise you one bit. Are the Raiders going to be road warriors? Our Pro Football Challenge at 8 o'clock as well. And, oh, by the way, the Phoenix Suns. Could the Seattle Suns be coming to a city near you right up I-5?
Or Vegas.
Or the Vegas Sun sounds a little bit better than Seattle. That makes more
sense. An oxymoron in Seattle.
Yeah, it is. But we'll discuss the power play that the Suns owner is trying to take on the city of Phoenix coming up later in the show. So let's get the show on the road, shall we?
Be better if it was the Seattle Shade.
You had that one earlier. That was your original name.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Supersonics, though, right?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. All right, 1997, Charles Woodson becomes the last defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy, the corner out of Michigan.
My senior year.
Why didn't you win?
My fellow brethren, because nobody gives tight ends.
Gosh.
Nobody gives tight ends anything other than the Mackey Award, which is cool.
Was that around when you...
Yeah, I was a finalist.
You were?
Yeah.
Who won that year?
I don't remember.
Oh.
I don't even know if it was around. I'm telling you, I have no idea if it was around.
All right.
I can't remember that far back.
Okay, we just seven had all, seconds.
Seven seconds.
That's all you're good for. Yeah. But Charles Woodson, will he be the last defensive player ever to win the Heisman?
In college, man.
Think about it. What would it take?
What would it take for a defensive player to be able to win the Heisman in today's world?
Doing what Charles Woodson did, which was play wide receiver and return kicks.
You have to play two. You have to play both ways.
Yeah, because Ndamukong Suh is the closest one we've seen.
It's good news. Cam could not have won the Mackey Award because it only started getting given out in the year 2000.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, good
not
for you.
Not possible.
3 years. 3 years.
Cam's undefeated in Mackey Award voting.
Yes, I was.
You won the Cam Cleland Award.
Hey, I won who was the first taken, so it doesn't matter.
First tight end taken.
I win that one.
There you go.
Winner.
What were your 40th?
4-0.
40th overall selection in the 1998
so
it,
but
NFL
if you
draft.
Were to, if you were to be a Heisman Trophy winner defensively, what would your numbers have to be? I mean, would you have to be All-American on offense and defense, or would you have to be just really good on offense?
I think you'd have to be a first-team All-American defensively, obviously, and then a first-team All-American return man. And then you would have to, you don't have to be like all-American receiver or anything.
Wow, first team. What if you're a really good defensive player, like you lead the country in sacks?
Yeah. Well, if you're in Ndamukong Suh.
And you catch like five touchdowns as a tight end.
What, is Mike Vrabel your coach?
I'm just asking. So you got to be a punt returner DB. There's no other way to do it. Only a deep. Why is it a skinny guy?
Too.
Did you also know that the bias is, it's a skinny guy award.
It's a quarterback award now.
It's a skinny guy award. I want to, enough of the, we need, the big guys need to have, I know we have the big guy awards, like the, we have the big guy awards.
By the way, if you, you also have to be on the best team in the country too.
Yeah, that's
because
true. That
plays a big role. You have to be in the playoff, in like the Final Four, and there's a lot that you have to do to be a defensive player to win it. So,
all
right, I think Charles Woodson is safe. Last defensive player to win it. All right. Where we start, the Blazers suck last night, but so did the Warriors. 616 on the Fan. All right, the Portland Trail Blazers' streak of poor shooting and poor play continued last night in Memphis, second of a back-to-back, and it was basically just a lower-scoring version of the previous night. The bench didn't play well. And I jinxed Yusuf Nurkic. I think that's a good summation of the game. You lose 92-83 in Memphis, and after saying, dare I say, Yusuf Nurkic is showing consistency, he goes 1 of 15 from the field. That's amazing. With 2 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 blocks, though. Nice little night other than 1 for 15 from the field.
Marc Gasol just just used him defensively.
Yes, he did.
Two things drove me bonkers last night.
Okay.
Okay, here, number one, Yusuf's inability to finish around them versus Marc Gasol. Secondly.
Or anybody?
Well, yes. Watching Biggie Swanigan get to the block and never have the ability to put the ball up to the rim.
He's a dribbler down there.
Not just a dribbler. Pump fake, ball stripped. Pump fake, ball stripped. Ball out. So I came to this summation this morning.
Okay.
The big Blazers word. Have, this is a big word. The Blazers have to play great to win a basketball game.
Yeah.
No, but stay with me here. I'll finish my point is that they're not good enough to play average basketball to win and beat any team in this association. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so you can't have a team, you can't have a guy like a CJ put up a 40 where you can have other teams where they can have their top players can put up 40. You can have a couple of that where they make everybody better around them.
Yeah.
Dame struggles when Dame's not playing well and CJ's not playing well. There's no ability for this team to win a basketball game against anybody, and I'll put it out there even against Phoenix, to win a basketball game playing average to below average basketball. Other teams like Golden State or even the Lakers or the Celtics, Milwaukee, Denver, any one of those teams can have an off night but still be in the game. And the other stat was crazy. Did you hear Lamar last night when he said that the Blazers are 0 and they have not won a game when they're trailing in the fourth quarter, the start of the fourth quarter?
That's not a good stat to have on your side.
That's horrible. Yeah, that means you don't have the ability to win a game in the fourth quarter.
Well, that goes back to exactly what you said in that they need to play great the entire game. And that goes back to one thing and one thing only. They won games when their bench is playing well. And that's what all those teams have. Look at Toronto last night is a great example. No Kawhi Leonard.
None.
No problem. They go on the road and they beat the Golden State Warriors.
Dismantle them.
Yeah, 113-93, and they had Draymond Green, they had Steph Curry, they had Klay Thompson, and Steph and Klay went, this is definitely an anomaly, but they go 10 of 29 from the field. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the production that Toronto gets from its bench, they don't get, you don't have to have a ton of scoring if you're efficient with the points you do score, and you don't allow the other team to make big runs. That's exactly what Toronto's bench did.
And this is what Memphis is. They're bigger on the perimeter. They made it difficult for the high pick and rolls. You couldn't get a shot off. When they decided to play defense, even old Mike Conley shut him down, coming off an Achilles.
Conley's just good.
Well, he's good, but he's coming off an Achilles.
Yeah.
I mean, he's older. He's in his 12th season. Every time we watch this and I go, all right, I get to see guys like Rajon Rondo shut down the Blazers. Old Rajon Rondo. Old Mike Conley.
Mm-hmm.
What in the heck is this? This is what we say every year. We get excited, Gillibone play a little good. The backcourt is just it is. It's just undersized, and it will never be able to compete against the length of these top teams in the NBA.
They wasted a great performance from Damian Lillard on Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday night, they wasted a stellar performance from CJ McCollum. CJ goes for 40 last night.
I don't consider it a waste. I consider it an imbalanced effort.
Well, it is a waste of an inspired performance when if Yusuf Nurkic, think of it this way. If Yusuf Nurkic shoots 40% from the field, you're not asking him post to shoot 50% from the field, but if he goes, 6 of 15 from the field,
it's a bad night. 1 of 15.
It is 1 of 15 is a bad night. 6 of 15, and how does that game change?
Probably a little bit differently, but they were 27%. Well, that's
10 points. They win.
There's no guarantee they win anything.
Cam, you're missing the point.
No, I know. I'm
40% is all you're asking for. And if you have wasted performances of CJ going for 40 and your big, who's supposed to be your best third option, goes for 2 points and 1 of 15, you're wasting his effort.
Is Yusuf Nurkic going to be the difference maker this season of winning and losing games? Ask yourself that simple question. You believe so.
Yes.
Wholeheartedly. You think that Yusuf Nurkic is the difference between winning and losing a basketball game in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't disagree more with that one. I think he is an excellent role player. He is not the difference maker in this offense.
He is your third option, and if you get 1 of 15, you're not winning games. Because who is it? Who is it if it's not?
No, I know. That's my point, is that there is no efficient third option.
Got to be that guy, because he is the one that is, to this point, and this is an issue, has proven to be the most consistent guy who you should be able to lean on. And that's why you need him to be... Not and he has been for big stretches of this year more reliable than 1 of 15. And that's, you got to be fair to Yusuf Nurkic. He has been more reliable, but last night was a great indicator of if it's, you got Dame, CJ, and then nobody else is showing up right now because they look worn out and their bench is still slumping.
Well, when Yusuf plays against higher level talent at the center position, like a Mark Gasol, somebody that can play, somebody that's more physical than him, that has talent, he has games like this. This is his typical type of setup. Well, and you're playing against a better talent. I mean, that's what Marc Gasol will do. He may have no muscle definition and just be this skinny rail guy from Spain, but all he does is shut down people and can't get off the ground and hits threes and just irritates you and finds ways to win.
And that kind of is going to make my point on the you need to have Yusuf Nurkic be better because he will be a difference in those games.
Yeah, I'm not expecting Yusuf to be the difference maker.
Is it going to be Zach Collins? Is it going to be Myers Leonard? Is it going to be Al-Farouq Aminu? Is it going to be Jake Layman? Is it going to be Maurice Harkless or Evan Turner?
What I personally look at, Zach Collins has more upside. I'm more interested to watch him score. His ability and his versatility gets me way more excited than Yusuf. I mean, it does, but he's just not getting the time.
At the time on the floor?
Yeah, he's just not getting the time on the floor.
Well, I think when you look at his shooting the last handful of games,
he got 15 minutes last night. Yeah.
You know?
Well, he's not deserving. Player. The whole team didn't play great.
When you're a bench player, yeah. I know. Well, he's gone 2 of 8 from the field in his last two games.
So the two things that we agree on is that the Blazers bench the last two games, horrific.
Well, more than that, too. You can extrapolate that out to the last 10. Yeah, we do agree on that.
All right,
for
basketball
sure.
Before December.
Woo! Well, and this is kind of what it goes back to. Remember the hype train behind Sauce Castillo playing really well and Layman playing really well the first couple weeks? We said it. And you got to repeat it, pump the brakes, because there's a lot of basketball to be played. And the Blazers came out hot. Everybody else is starting to warm up the old diesel engines, and the Blazers need to start doing the same as well. Next up, nice easy game against the best team in the NBA as the Toronto Raptors come to Portland tomorrow. That should be easy.
Will Kawhi play?
Yes. Because he got his rest last night.
And the night before.
Blazers lose 92-83. How can college football grab power back from the Southeastern Conference? Wait till you hear the response of the SEC in the wake of reports that power brokers want to take a little bit of that power away from them by having an 18 playoff. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text sign. A hot topic yesterday was Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic's article about the power brokers in college football are starting to push back against the SEC and want to push for playoff expansion. And some of them, including Barry Alvarez and Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner, said by 2020, they want to see an expansion to 8-team playoff. And that's kind of a common buzz that you're hearing. One of the scenarios that was laid out in that article would be, you could do it pretty easily. And all you got to do is eliminate conference championship games.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't that make sense, though?
It does.
You don't need conference championship games if you get an automatic qualifier, right?
Correct.
So what... the next question was, well, what's the SEC going to say about that? Because they love their SEC championship game. And their commissioner, Greg Sankey, responded to Auerbach in the article and said, the SEC championship game is important to this conference and our fans. I think the fact that this year's game was the most watched and highest rated regular season football game on any television network in 7 years tells you the SEC championship game is important to the fans of college football well beyond our conference. All conference championship games are important and relevant, which is why every FBS conference has followed the SEC's lead and created championship games on their own. The day a 4-team college football playoff was introduced, public speculation began about a larger bracket. That's human nature. This is not a new conversation. College football has a system in place, and that has been remarkably successful in its first 4 years, and we expect this success to continue for the current college football playoff format. Basically, you want to read between the lines on that one. It is, you're not taking our conference championship game. You're not going to take our money either. And that is a big problem. And now, the immediate response was people freaking out.
Yeah.
Because the SEC has the power.
But not just have the power. I wouldn't expect anything different from a conference leader.
No.
Well, what should he say? Yeah, no problem. We'll take it away. No problem. We'll forgo money. We'll forgo the opportunity to promote the conference nationally to say it's the best. We'll also give up the opportunity to maybe get multiple teams in and say that, oh, I don't know, maybe you could lose your division and still get in Alabama. Just like last year. No, we'll forgo all of that and we'll just kowtow to exactly what everybody else on the outside wants. That's not what the SEC is going to do. Mm-mm. And by the way, the answer to fixing this is nothing. Because you could sit back and come up with all these great ideas of what's going to change, is that there's no way the SEC is going to change. The only way this is going to happen is just that everybody forces and says enough's enough. But the power is in the South, and the power is in the conference with the most money and the most notoriety. And how do you change that? You can't. I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's an easy solution. You're not going to get votes because it comes down to, as I rub my fingers together, that's really bad for radio.
Money. That's great.
It comes down to revenue.
Yeah.
Because money talks.
When you were doing that, in my mind, I was doing the same thing, and I think everybody else is. It's what it's all about is money.
Nothing to do with what's right.
This is why I think it's incredible to see what college football does when Greg Sankey says, well, fine, we're just going to keep our conference championship game. Okay, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And this is why I don't understand how college football works, in that because the SEC wants to keep their conference championship game, everybody else is like, well, now the 18 playoff won't work. I think the other four conferences of Power Five need to go, fine, SEC, keep your conference championship game, but it might cost you because we're not going to play it.
No.
And if you play it, then go ahead. That will be your ninth conference game.
Yeah.
Because everybody else, we play nine. You can go ahead and you can have that as your ninth conference game. And you can have your two best teams. And then you can reseed the entire conference however you want. And that can be your final week of the regular season.
So the magic fix could be, in what you're saying, and piggybacking on what you're saying, is that if you're going to take the Pac-12, the Big 12, the Big 10, and the ACC, and all of them play nine conference games, and they decide their games based on head-to-head matchup and or what do they use for their tiebreakers, so they have no divisions anymore.
None.
Okay, rotational. Okay, SEC, keep your conference championship game. But you know that Week 10 patsy? Okay, that is bumped back, and now your conference championship game is a week before Thanksgiving, or it's Thanksgiving week, just like everybody else will be done Thanksgiving week. So they will crown their champions of their conference, and you can crown your champion. You get no more Citadel in Week 10. You have to play a ninth conference game, which is your championship game. No problem. We got it all fixed. Easy. We're going to do our thing, and then we'll see you in the playoffs.
And then you know what will change for the SEC is when that conference championship game costs them a playoff spot.
Yep.
Because ultimately, at some point, it will.
Maybe we shouldn't do this anymore.
You know, yeah.
We'll just crown Alabama. We'll just give it to Georgia.
And because right now, the SEC has all of the power because everything is going their way. Well, of course they're happy with the 4-team playoff. They got two teams in last year, right? They've never been left out, and they win it all the time because Alabama is king, and deservedly so. They are a great football team. But if
they're good, but deservedly so is not how I see it.
What, them being in the playoff every year?
No, there's a difference between being deservedly, like we deserve it, and earning it. Alabama still earns it.
Well, yeah, but they've deserved it every year that they've gone. Like, they haven't gotten like this free pass in, because last year, they were the second SEC team in.
That was a free pass.
They didn't win their division, but they won the dang national championship. So that's pretty deserving.
Certainly. They made a great coaching choice by putting in Tua. That's what happens. Or they would have lost.
I mean, that's why I say deservedly so. They've been in every year because, gosh, they're in the championship game every single year. But if you look at it this way, you don't need to conform with them. You go let them do their own thing. And you know what? Mm-hmm. If it works for the SEC, then you can adjust. But don't let it sit there and dictate that an 18 playoff happens because of the fact they want to keep their conference championship game.
I feel like this doesn't this strangely sound, okay, I'm going to take us back in history a little bit to the Civil War when it was the North versus the South. I do feel like this is a country right now divided by what is best for a collective group, and then the South have their rules and they have right. the way they do things, and they want to have their conference not only be the conference, which it is because it owns all the national championships. So they're going to secede from the Union. And if you want to go and do your own thing and sit there and do that own thing, fine. We'll create the Mason-Dixon line right here and say, there you go. Fine. You guys do your own thing down there with how you want to run your college football. But when it comes time to take in everybody else, we're going to crown our own champion. So you can have your SEC champion, and then we'll crown this one and start to either break away some way or put the hammer down on exactly what they're doing. Because at this point in time, there's no way you're going to beat them.
Yeah. And I don't think that's the extreme version of it. But I think that you can do it and say, all right, college football needs the SEC. We had this conversation before the show. I mean, you said it. The college football needs the SEC more than the SEC needs college football, right? Because they're this behemoth. Well, you can have your cake and eat it too if you're the rest of the Power Five conferences by sitting there and saying, yeah, move your conference game championship game up, and then more power to you. We'll do our thing. You do yours. You'll still have a seat at the table. We're not telling you can't, but you're going to have to do it differently than us, because in more often than not, the other conferences, their conference championship games have hurt their bid to get to a playoff, with the exception of the Big 12 when they didn't have one, but everybody else did. Now, if the SEC is doing something that nobody else is doing, it'll hurt them more than it will help them.
I want you to think about this question. We're going to head to a break, and everybody, is that the reason why college football matters more is because it's so divisive.
Yes.
Unlike any other sport, there's uniformity. Does college football really need a change, or is it fun because it's so divisive and it causes so much intrigue? And it's so separated by rules. Is that the shtick to college football that keeps it relative?
55305, the Better You Today text line. Your feedback and more coming up, 6:45 on The Fan. All right, 55305, the Better You Today text line. How do you take control back from the SEC? This is a good text on the Better You Today text line. Simply stated, F the SEC. They have all this power in college football. It's not right for them to run the system. All the other conferences need to stand their ground and push the power around. Stop the SEC from bullying them. That's all I'm saying. I think that's what both of us are saying right now is, cool, SEC, you want to have your championship game? Go ahead. If you can make that money that you get from your conference championship game, that's fine. You're going to have to give up that patsy, as you said, in week 10 before you play your rivalry game. So then how different does the SEC look if Alabama goes from, you know, they go LSU, Vanderbilt, A&M, then Auburn, then SEC championship game? That'll change their tune pretty quickly when they don't have that tune-up game against the Citadel.
So I wonder if we think of it like this, because college football reminds me, I'm going to make a analogy, it reminds me of the way soccer or football is in our world game. Mm. And if we rank it like this, I would consider the SEC to be the Premier League. I would then go with the Big Ten, or I would say ACC is La Liga. And then you could sit there and say Serie A and Bundesliga and MLS. Ooh, and
Bundesliga.
And how you rank your soccer and how everybody says our league is the best. And, you know, Premier League will stand up and tell you that they're the greatest. And then you could say La Liga will say, no, we're the greatest. And then do they ever play each other and they get into this fight? Because I believe that our version of world soccer is college football, is that soccer will spend a ton of time telling you how their team and their players are the best. And they're super. I mean, they get heavy into college football because when I say college football, us as fans, we get fighting. We get angry when you tell me my player's not a Heisman Trophy guy or this guy is that. And our metrics, the way we use and measure college football, is based upon our eye test. It's all subjective. And so we sit here with college football in our country, and it's Pac-12, ACC. Well, you know what the Pac-12 is right now? They're the MLS. Okay, they're on the outside going, well, we got some good players, but nobody cares. Nobody cares about us conference because they don't even talk to us in 2 years. They don't put us in. Nobody cares. You lose one game at the beginning of the season, you're out. Okay, mm-hmm. Washington lose to Auburn, they're out. Nobody cares. But then all these other conferences, sit there and try to buoy themselves up. This is what makes college football interesting, because it creates everybody's opinions to think that they're right.
Yeah, that is
so fact. Does it need to be fixed? Does it need to be uniform? Do we need to create a connection from the NC2A where there's one governing body? Because right now you have five different Power Five sitting conference leaders.
Yeah.
You have different everything, different officials, different ways to call plays, different replay officials, different officials on the field, different revenue stream. And it's all built around what?
Yeah. It's, well,
a tease to the fans that it's fair and you're going to have a chance.
Right.
Yeah. Four teams.
And this is what another good text says. There have been reasonable models, because we're talking about an 18 playoff that gets rid of conference championship games, and the SEC's pushing back. And this texture says there have been reasonable models presented that are almost identical, with the only difference being conference championship games are kept. And this is where it's smart for the other Power Five conference teams outside of the SEC to do away with divisions and conference championship games. It's because when you have divisions, it has held back conferences before. Ohio State, what was their big knock heading into conference championship weekend? Well, who are they playing?
Yeah. Northwestern.
Right? Northwestern.
Oh, look who won that division. Northwestern. That's not credible.
For the most of the Pac-12's life, including this year, the Pac-12 North champion has been playing a South team that is either ranked 15th or not even ranked in some cases. And that holds back the North division champion because they play a nobody, right? The Big 12 has had this issue, not this past year because Oklahoma was able to avenge their loss, but every single league, with the exception of the SEC, because they have that power, they have that power hold, it holds you back.
Is it important, ask yourself this for college football, is it important that if you're here in the conference, that let's use this year's example, Washington already beat Utah once during the season. Is it viable to have them play again to try to cement that they're the best team in the conference? Once you've already showed that you've not only beat the team, but you've played 9 conference games, you have the best record in the conference. Is that important for us to be able to say, oh, you won your division, you get a chance to knock them off again? You know, it's not the NFL. The NFL, you decide you play twice, right? You play each team within your division twice. Right. It's very simple to figure out who wins your division, and then you move on to the playoffs. You don't have a divisional championship game in college, in the NFL. And why does the NFL model work so well? Well, because you had a lot of teams get in, and they find ways to make it very easy come the end of the season. College football doesn't. They find ways to make it difficult and subjective.
Yeah, here that Utah-Washington one, I think that there is some credence to it. As long as it's the second best team in the league that you're playing.
Or you know remember when Oregon would play UCLA?
Yeah.
And it was like, what is this?
Yeah. But if Washington were to play Washington State, it would suck because it would have been the same teams playing in back-to-back weeks. Mm-hmm. But that game would have made it better sense because it would have been at least, it was a rematch, but at least it would have been two teams that are in a conversation for going.
And this texter says, if you're Oklahoma, it's beneficial to play Texas a second time. Yes, it is. And it's only because of the model and how it's set up, because the Big 12 doesn't have enough teams to sit there and tell you they're not loaded like an SEC with 14 teams. They have 10.
And they were able to avenge their loss, which is to
get them into a 4-team playoff.
Yeah, which was a big deal for them to avenge that loss, because it was against the second best team in the conference. Like, I don't think did you think Utah was the second best team in all of the Pac-12? Because I still think it was Washington State.
Yes, no, I agree.
And so,
I agree too. I think it was made, the Apple Cup in my mind was the Pac-12 championship game.
Right. Yeah. And it played out. That was a great defensive game between Utah and Washington. No doubt about it.
If you like defense.
It was bad offense too.
It sure was.
It was really bad offense.
Right. It was, and it's actually this year, the Pac-12 championship game, it's not that it was unnecessary, is that it just didn't get any attention and it was.
In most conferences go through that.
Yeah.
I mean, with the ACC game.
Was the Big Ten conference championship game, was that a deciding factor for Ohio State to go, wow, buoyed up their schedule?
Exactly. If they would have played Michigan, it would have been better.
Was the ACC game in Pitt, was that helpful?
No.
Was the Big 12 one? Who were the most?
Big 12 was.
So out of Power 5, only 2 conference championship games carried any weight.
And guess what?
That's sad. And then it's not working then.
a team that didn't even play that weekend is in because they went undefeated, right. Notre Dame.
Right. Right. It's not working. The model just, we just already told you, when it's under, it's not like here, this isn't baseball here. When you're hitting 300, it doesn't mean you're a Hall of Famer.
The SEC wants to push back on an 18 playoff because it's not that they will lose money in an 18 playoff. It's that their advantage of how much more money they make over everybody else will get smaller. That's the reality.
Right.
Because they make a ton of money off the SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. And if that goes away, they don't make as much money in that gap. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Coming up next hour, we got NFL. Great Thursday night football game with the division on the line. Are the Raiders really going to be the Road Warriors this next year? Pro Football Challenge at the top of next hour. Dustin Cam on the Fan.